Titled our message this morning, Worship That Brings God Delight. Worship that brings God delight. Worship is the primary activity of the church. As we come together this morning, we are testifying that Jesus Christ, that the Lord Himself, is the one who created us, that He's redeemed us, that He deserves the glory and the praise from our lives. In fact, God is to be the focus of our worship, is seen throughout the Scripture. But in Psalm 115, verse 1, it reminds us, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory." That we're to give honor and glory to the Lord regularly. That as we come together as God's people, it is our privilege, it is our opportunity to worship the Lord from our hearts and from our lives. Worship is a critical issue because we can often fall into a careless mentality. We can often easily drift into not engaging our thoughts and our hearts in the worship that we've come together around the Lord. We can easily allow worship to become too routine. And we can often find ourselves just going through the motions and missing the fact that we're to engage our hearts in worship to the Lord. The author of this psalm, Psalm 149, directs our attention to praising the Lord. In fact, the last five psalms are often titled Hallelujah Psalms that remind us that the Lord deserves praise. But the end of chapter 148, verse 14, we find the direction given going into chapter 149. Notice verse 14 of Psalm 148. "He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord." Israel was God's chosen people, and they are called to praise the Lord and to prepare for victory. And Psalm 149 comes out of verse 14 that we just read together. As we look at this psalm together, it's a messianic psalm. It speaks of the coming millennial reign of our Lord. But yet there are many truths that we can apply and understand and implement into our daily lives today as well. Worship is not only the central part of the local church or activity of the local church, but we're reminded also that worship is not to be something that we conjure up or something that we go through the motions and manufacture, or somehow we create worship by doing certain things. Turn with me, if you would, very quickly to John chapter 15. Worship is not something that's just manufactured or put together. John chapter 15. Jesus is teaching here, and notice verses 4 and 5. These are critical verses to remind us that worship goes far beyond just a superficial experience. Notice verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, verse 4, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing." These verses are very powerful as they remind us of the importance of being centered into who Jesus Christ is and being engrafted into a life that is vibrant, that is found only in Him. He says, without Me, ye can do nothing. We have to abide in the vine of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you've started to do some outside work as the weather's gotten a little bit better. We did a little bit in our front flower beds this past week, and we noticed as we began to dig that there were a lot of vines that were coming from perhaps our trees or I don't know where. They were coming into our flower beds, and they're trying to dig them up and get that soil turned. But some of them were very well rooted. They were abiding in a bigger object, probably those trees. In fact, Carson picked one of them up, and it was about 3 or 4 feet. He kept pulling it, and it kept going, and he said, "Dad, I can't get it out," and we had to pull it out together. That's the idea of what Jesus is giving here. He says that we should be rooted in the Lord. And as we are rooted in the Lord, our worship flows out of are abiding in Christ. We cannot come to worship the Lord unless we have been abiding in Christ the whole week. Unless we've been abiding in who Jesus Christ is and walking in His truth and in His ways, we cannot worship the Lord that brings delight to Him. True worship is not something that's manufactured. Instead, it's an outflow of our life, of living a life of worship to the Lord. We can do nothing apart from His presence and His power in our lives. And so this morning, I want to focus our attention here in Psalm 149 to worship that brings God delight. Notice, first of all, in verses 1 through 5, that worshiping the Lord is a matter of preparation. Worshiping the Lord is a matter of preparation. Notice verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Notice, first of all, here in these first five verses that worship to the Lord is a matter of preparation. As you came this morning, how did you prepare to worship the Lord? As you were singing the hymns, what was your mind focused on? Where has your heart been focused in the time of worship to the Lord this morning? He tells us here in these first five verses that as we come to worship the Lord, it only begins when we've prepared to worship the Lord. Did you prepare your heart to come to worship the Creator, the one who's redeemed us, the one who deserves and is worthy of our praise? Young people, this morning, did you think about the Lord as you came to church? Have you focused on who God is, that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Are you thinking about that even this morning as we worship the Lord? Notice he says, verse 1 again, sing unto the Lord a new song, His praise in the congregation of saints. These people have been made right by the work of the Lord, and because of His work, they should now offer praise to the Lord. And He's imploring them to sing together, if you will, as a choir of those who have been brought out of their bondage, and praise the Lord from their lips. Notice again, verse 2, he says, let Israel rejoice in Him that made them. That He's the Creator, that He's the one who has been at the center of everything in their life. He created them. He's redeemed them. He gives us hope. He gives us new purpose. Israel's sin at this point has kept them from rejoicing in the Lord as their King. And He's drawing their attention back to where it should be, a focus of worship on the Lord. If we harbor sin in our lives, if we have sin that has gone unconfessed and we come to worship, we're not in a place where we're prepared to worship the Lord because there is sin between us and God. We must confess that sin. We must make it right. And as we do, we're promised that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise to the believer, that the one who confesses his sin will then have fellowship again with the Lord. And so as we come to worship the Lord, it's important that we are in fellowship with Him, that He desires for our hearts to be prepared to worship Him. Notice verse 3. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. He says the dance, the timbrel, these are ways of celebrating the victory. And sometimes when we see dance in the Scriptures, we wonder, what does that mean? Well, those would have been times when they would have interpretively responded in praise to the Lord. It's not the kind of dance that we think of in our modern understanding of that word. But instead, it was to magnify the Lord. It was to direct their attention to the Lord. And he says, let them sing praises to his name. Let them sing praises with these instruments. They were to focus on the Lord, and they were to come prepared for worship to the Lord. Notice verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Israel had now turned from their sin. They had prepared their heart. And he tells us in verse 4 that the Lord was now taking pleasure in their worship. And so the question comes this morning, does the Lord take pleasure in my worship, in your worship, as we have come this morning? Have we prepared our hearts? Is he delighting in the worship that we have brought to him this morning? God would take delight in their worship because he deserves the worship. As we think about the fact that God has created us, he's made each of us, and he's designed each of us to come to worship him. That's why he's made man, to bring delight and glory to himself, to praise his name, to bring honor to him. And he reminds them now the Lord can take pleasure in his people. And so it is with our worship. Our purpose is not to please ourselves. Our purpose should be to delight in the Lord, to take glory in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 147, maybe just a page over, verse 11. We see the same theme. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. What is God looking for? He's looking for the humble person, the one who fears him, he says in verse 11. In him, God takes delight, that he desires our worship from a heart that is humble, that a heart that is prepared by coming with sins that have been confessed and forgiven, and he's ready to worship the Lord with his heart and his life. Notice how he describes it at the end of verse 4. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Literally, worship should be beautiful to the Lord. Now, we see this in a couple of other places. If you would turn back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Worship ought to be beautiful to the Lord. He says, in him will he beautify the meek. Notice back in Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Again, worship is beautiful in the eyes of our God. Turn to Psalm 96. We'll see it again. Psalm 96. Verse 9, Psalm 96, verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Again, that worship is beautiful to the Lord's eyes, that he's holy and righteous. And he tells us in verse 9 to fear him. Once again, to humble ourselves before him. And so the question comes, does the Lord find pleasure in your worship? Does the Lord find pleasure in our worship? Does he delight in how we are living our life out and then coming into his house to worship him as well? Are they consistent? Are we living a life that's pleasing to the Lord and it's culminating on Sunday together as we worship him? It should be. We should delight in worshiping him, and he should find delight in the worship that we bring to him as well. Back in our text, Psalm 149, verse 5, he says, let the saints, therefore, be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. This is perhaps the key verse, I think, to the whole psalm. He's reminding them of this important principle that we're to prepare our heart as we come and gather to worship. You say, how do you find that? Well, notice again verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. They're to come and to pour out their hearts in worship, but it first begins at home. It first begins with a life that is lived in worship to the Lord. He says that they're to culminate their worship as they come collectively together to praise the Lord, to honor Him, to give Him glory. And that can only come about as they have prepared and they have lived that out the whole week. As we come to church on Sunday, it reveals the spiritual temperature of how we have been living this past week. It tells us whether or not our hearts have been walking in the Lord's truth. Have we been abiding in the vine? It tells us whether or not we've confessed our sin and prepared our hearts for worship. It tells us if our hearts have been humble and honest before the Lord. And it begins by preparing our heart before we gather to worship. Worship should be an outflow of our heart and our life. That as we come on Sunday, again, it's not something that we manufacture, something that we do to create a worship experience. It's an outflow of the life that we should be living in the Lord. Notice again verse 5, he says, let the saints be joyful in glory. You know, our singing even reflects our praise to the Lord. Are we singing from a heart of joy? Are we thinking of the words and meditating on them as we sing? Are we just singing the hymns and singing the verses to get to the next part? Are we individually making sure that our worship is directed to the Lord? That it's not for what others are thinking around us or not for what we think we can get out of this service, but our focus is directed to the Lord. That as we come, we prepare our hearts, and then our focus should be upon the Lord. It's not as if worship begins by the time we get to the second or third song, and those are just time fillers, or we need to do that so that the ushers can come forward. No, all of it is worship to the Lord. Every part is important. The preaching is predicated beforehand by the worship of God's people in song, in reading His word, in giving to the Lord, in recognizing His glory before us. Our singing, our reading, giving, all of those are important in our worship to the Lord. And He says again, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. The joy comes from the heart. And it comes and presents worship from the heart. It's a joyful, deep-rooted reality in who God is. It's not just a happy experience or something that encourages us just a little bit. Worship is vital to our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being. Last week in our deacons meeting, we took some time to talk about our worship services, and specifically Sunday morning, to make sure that we are directing our attention to the Lord as best we can. And that begins with a couple of different factors and just realizing, first of all, that as we come to worship, it's kind of like a funnel effect. And as we talked about this, just there are so many things that are going on throughout the week and we've been doing so many different things. And we kind of come in together with a very broad spectrum. But hopefully, we're funneling that down to a focus on who Christ is. That as we come to worship, our minds, our hearts are becoming united in who Christ is and what He's done for us. And there's hopefully a funnel effect of our worship coming together centered on what Christ has done for us. As we began talking about this a little bit, we mentioned that it's important for us to make sure that we try to come and we're prepared at 11 o'clock as we start the service. And so that might mean that our Sunday school teachers need to make sure that we're out at 10 till so that we can use the time to use the restroom and come and be prepared in our seats to worship the Lord. Why is that important? Because worship begins at the beginning of the service and continues through the whole service. And so we might need to adjust that a little bit, teachers, as we plan, as we end our classes, to make sure that we take some time to come and be prepared for worship. As the instruments play at the beginning, it's a time to focus on the Lord, a time to pray, a time to read His Word, or just prepare your heart for worship, that we're about to enter into the Lord's presence and to worship Him with our hearts. We try to pick the hymns to go with the messages, again, to direct our thoughts as we sing, so that we're thinking about the truths of God's Word, and we're reflecting on that as we begin in our worship. It also involves the preparation not only of our heart daily, but even the night before, to make sure that we're ready for the Lord's day. To make sure that when we get up, we're ready to worship the Lord, and we're striving the best we can humanly possible to be prepared for the Lord's day. We need to prepare by meditating on the Lord as the service begins, before the service starts. A time to focus on the Lord, to read His Word, to prepare for the service, and maybe take time to pray and ask the Lord to direct your heart as we worship Him. As we talked about this, and as we looked at the importance of keeping Christ the focus, one of the things that has come about is even our handshake time. It kind of disrupts us from the service. And so we're going to move that to the evening service so that we can direct our attention to the Lord, keep it focused on Him, and to continue to be looking to the Lord as we worship. There was a phrase that one pastor had shared, and I thought it was very helpful. He says, before the service, speak to the Lord. During the service, let the Lord speak to you. And then after the service, be sure to speak to one another. I thought that was very helpful to prepare our hearts for worship, to keep our focus on the Lord, to allow Him to speak to us through our worship, and then to worship by fellowshipping one with another after the service. Worship to the Lord should be planned. It should be prepared. And in these first five verses, He's reminding us that our worship is a matter of preparation. Notice, secondly, this morning, verses 6 through 9, that worship is a serious endeavor. Worship is a serious endeavor. Notice verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Again, as we began the psalm in verse 14 of the previous chapter, it reminds us not only are they to praise the Lord, but secondly, that they were to be preparing for battle and for victory. And how were they going to do that? Well, they needed to recognize that this was a serious endeavor in which they were engaging in. And so it is with worship, that as we come, that this is something that is serious, that we need to take seriously. That far too often, Satan is content with people to just think that they're exercising religion. Why is he content? Because there's a difference between religion and a relationship in Jesus Christ. A relationship is something that's vibrant. It's something that's growing. It takes serious effort to develop a relationship. That's quite different than just executing a religion and merely externally showing yourself spiritual. The Bible tells us that we are the army of God, that we're in a spiritual battle. And so as we worship, we should take it seriously, because we're preparing ourselves for the week ahead to be armed with the Word of God to live out His truth. Notice the reference to this, verse 6. He says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What did that phrase, two-edged sword, symbolize? Well, it symbolized the completeness of judgment. That they would be executed by the Messiah, that would be executed by the Messiah when He returns to punish those who are evil. All the wrongs that had been done would be completed. The Word of God will end all those questions. And so he was encouraging the people of Israel, the children of Israel, that he was coming to correct all the wrongs that had been done, and that they needed to take the matter seriously. We're in a spiritual warfare as well. Turn very quickly to Ephesians chapter 6 to remind us of this spiritual warfare. Our worship is a serious endeavor because we are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Christian life is a battle. We're in a spiritual battle, and so we need to be armed and prepared for that battle. And that begins with feeding on the Word of God. That means that as we come together in worship, that we take it very seriously, that we're directing our attention to the Lord. We've prepared our hearts, that we're ready to hear the message that God has for us to be equipped to live it out in our lives. Do we take our worship seriously? It means that we are to come prepared. It means that we're to focus on the Lord for this hour, to focus on Him, to put out the distractions of this past week and the things that often call for our attention, and to even in our conversations with one another, to direct our conversations to the Lord, to focus on Him, to make Christ the center, because it's a serious endeavor. Notice back in Psalm 149, verse 7, he says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Again, the context here seems to suggest a time when Israel will accept Christ as Savior. They will praise the Lord for that salvation, and the Lord will execute that judgment. Again, a coming day, a sign of something to come. And then he says, verse 8, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. He says that their kings will be bound with chains. Again, in our spiritual lives, we have to draw every thought captive, or to take into bondage those thoughts. Those straying thoughts where we begin to think about things that are coming, or things that have taken our attention. And we have to capture those thoughts and bring them into captivity for the Lord's sake. Again, it's a serious endeavor. We can't just focus on the Lord in a casual manner if we're not prepared and we're not actively involved, ready to hear the Word of God. These nations, again, would be subject to what God would bring about, and he directs their attention at the end to praise the Lord. He says it would bring this honor to all the saints. It's a privilege to carry out God's will, we could say. So worship's a matter of preparation, and worship is a serious endeavor. As we've come this morning, as we think about our own lives, how easy it is to be distracted, how easy it is to not prepare our hearts to come to worship the Lord, and then to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord when we're here to worship. Young people, to be thinking about what we're doing as we read God's Word, to think about what God has for you and to be ready to hear that. And so we need to prepare our hearts as we come to worship the Lord. And it begins by living out the truth of God's Word every day. And then when we come to worship, it's an outflow of our heart. And it's also a serious endeavor because we're arming ourselves and equipping ourselves for the battle that's coming. What a great privilege to come into God's presence, isn't it? What a joy to come and to worship the Lord. And then to be equipped by a living book that changes our lives and equips us to live for Him. That's powerful. The Word of God is powerful in our lives. We cannot have spiritual fruit if we take our walk with the Lord casually. Abiding in Him. Worship that's an outflow that ultimately brings God delight. Isn't that wonderful to think that God delights in the worship of His people? And so the question this morning as we close, do I prepare for worship seriously? Do I prepare for worship and do I take this seriously in my walk with the Lord? Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, how we pray as Your people that You would help us to worship You in a way that brings You delight. Lord, how we pray that we would prepare our hearts. Oh, Lord, we know Satan wants to distract, that he wants us just to be content with superficially worshiping You and not engaging our hearts and our minds with a heart that is rooted in a relationship with You. Oh, how we pray that You would help us in our services even to direct our attention more upon You, less upon ourselves, that our conversations one with another would be sharpening each other spiritually, that, Lord, as we come, we might meditate on Your truth, we might prepare our hearts, that we would not be casual in our worship, that we might truly engage in worship because You delight in our worship. And, Lord, we know that through our time of worship around Your Word, that You also equip us. And so how we're thankful that Your Word is powerful, that as we hear it preached, as we hear it taught, as we read it, Lord, that it's powerful to change our lives, and we desperately need that each day. How we pray You would accomplish Your will and Your work for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.